In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Someone once said that the Catholic faith teaches people to live well so that they can die well. Now, this is not the whole story of the good news, but it does express, does capture an important truth, namely that at a purely human level, few things are more terrifying than death. So death is therefore the great test of things. On our deathbeds, we want to forgive others and to be forgiven. On our deathbeds, we want to tell the truth. Humanly speaking, we want to make peace before we die. And our Lord, who created human nature, who knows us better than we know ourselves, understands this fundamental need for peace as we go to face death. And so he commands that the first word that his disciples say when they enter into a house to preach the gospel, be peace. He knows what we are looking for, and so that is what he offers us. Now, there are many ways in which we try to get peace for ourselves. And I think one of the most insidious ways in which men and women of today try to achieve peace is by a kind of apathy, kind of forgetfulness of the world. We think that to be at peace for ourselves, we have to shut out the concerns of other people. We have to retreat from being concerned about things, from being passionate about what's right and what's wrong, and kind of just say, well, whatever. That makes you happy, go for it. But I've got something else that makes me happy. We think that that's the way we can achieve peace with our neighbors and with ourselves. That is not the peace of the gospel. The gospel peace does not require apathy or indifference or carelessness to the world. The saints show this to us. About 100 years ago, a young man died. His name was Pier Giorgio Frassati, and he came from a very influential family in Milan, in Italy. He was an excellent student when it came to really applying himself to his engineering studies, but whatever time he could take away from those studies, he spent in prayer and in taking care of the poor. But he was also a young man full of life. One of his great pastimes that he shared with his friends was mountain climbing. And the photographs we have of Pier Giorgio show a smiling, happy young man full of life. Well, when he became 23 years of age, he contracted poliomyelitis during one of his visits to the poor. He died a very painful death. On the day of his death, he did two things. First, he said to his sister, Lucia, this is the happiest day of my life. And then, his hand nearly paralyzed by the disease, he wrote a letter reminding his friend to take medicine to the poor man that they had been visiting. Pier Giorgio said that his death was the happiest day of his life. He was at peace leaving this world. But that peace didn't come from an indifference to the people that he was leaving behind. His last act was an act of charity. Pier Giorgio was not at peace because he no longer cared about the world that he was leaving. He was at peace because he had been crucified to the world. Like St. Paul, Pier Giorgio understood that to belong to Christ requires being ready to leave everything for his sake. The good things of this world, the love of family, the beauty of nature, the rewards of hard work and study, these are all gifts that the Lord allows us to enjoy. But if we use them properly, as St. Paul, as Blessed Pier Giorgio, we use them with a spirit of thankfulness, and we begin to hear the Lord's voice speaking to us, that these gifts are for a time. He is forever. That as good as these things are, there is something better prepared for us. And so if we want peace at that great moment of our life that is also the end of our life, if we want peace when we die, we must, paradoxically, die right now. We must be ready to be crucified to the world. And those words, as mysterious and in a way terrifying as they are the only things that will save us. Even here at Holy Mass, the sign of peace that we give to others is a completion of the sign of the cross. That cross begins when the sacred host and the chalice are offered to God, and the priest says, through him and with him and in him. We have the vertical dimension of the cross. And then the horizontal beam of that cross is expressed as the priest extends his arms and says, the peace of the Lord be with you always. That is meant to remind us that when we give the sign of peace to each other, we are not expressing human goodwill. We are not expressing something merely natural. That sign of peace that we exchange is only effective, is only real, if it comes from the crucified one. And so as we continue with Holy Mass, let us ask the Lord to enter more deeply into our hearts. Let us ask him to help us to be identified more closely with his cross, so that the gift of peace he has given to us, we may proclaim to others, that we may always, in all our words and actions, point to Christ as the only one who can give true peace to his people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.